Well, if you're not already there, Exodus 33. We look at verses 12 to 23 this morning. And might I just say, is it not good to sing the gospel? To make much of Jesus. The one and only one who makes us right with God. There is not one thing in us that allows us to come before the throne of God. Make no mistake about that. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And that is what we sing about. And that is what we proclaim. And I pray that's what you have your faith in this morning. Nothing else but Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. For there is nothing else but Jesus. What does God say in His word to us this morning? Might it be the same thing? Beginning in verse 12, the Lord says to us, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people. But you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people.' And then he said, 'My presence shall go with you. I will give you rest.' And then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we and I and your people may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth?' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name.' Then Moses said, 'I pray you, show me your glory.' And he said, 'I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But,' he said, 'you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me. You shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, what a blessing it is to call you Father. If your Spirit is in us, we cry, "Abba, Father." You are ours and we are yours. Unfathomable. It is to you we come. We pray, we ask, we plead. May your presence be with us. If your presence is not with us, what we do is in vain. Help us to understand this, for not just now, but for all of life. May this word bear fruit today for your kingdom, Lord. May this, your word, go forth and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and may it bear fruit that it changes us. It makes us different. It distinguishes us. For that's what you do with your people. You make them holy as you are holy. How else will we know that we're yours? Oh, Father, go with us. Make us holy. Let us know your ways, that we may know you. This is what you do in your people. Father, we ask this not by our own hand. We ask this not by our own authority. We ask this not by our own favor. But we ask this based upon Jesus and His position with You. He has great favor. So we come in His name. Amen. One of my great joys of preaching through this book so far, the book of Exodus, has been how many times we get to see Jesus in Exodus. I mean, He's been all over the place, if you've been paying attention. It's because of that I have gained an even deeper appreciation and love and experience of Luke 24:27. It's in that passage that Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus with a couple of His disciples. Post-resurrection, they don't know who He is. And at that time it says, and beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. Now, while I know it's true of all the prophets, right? I have faith in that. I have great experiential knowledge that it is true of Moses. Because in his writings, we see many things concerning Jesus Christ. And it's not just the writings themselves. It's actually in the person of Moses, isn't it? I mean, it's through Moses' actions and what we see much of Christ. Moses is one of the great Christ types in all of Scripture. God raised him up in order that he might reveal the coming Christ. And we who have come after him should be able to see this ever so clearly. As we turn to our passage today, I want you to see nothing's really changed. We're going to continue on. We're going to see more of Christ in Moses. And specifically, right, what I want you to see is we're going to catch two glimpses of Christ, two pictures of Jesus and who He should be to us through Moses, through His actions, what He does, and through what happens to Moses. Again, you just see Jesus everywhere when you look at Moses. It's who he is. He's a Christ type. So we're going to learn other things along the way, brothers and sisters, many things that should be edifying to us in our walk as we follow Jesus. But I want to emphasize at the end of each one of these parts, you see Jesus in these things. So what are these pictures of Jesus? Well, the first picture of Jesus I want you to see in Moses is you will see Jesus as our intercessor. Jesus as our intercessor. He's here. Now, it's important. We're going to look at verses 12 to 17 for this. It's important before we even start that we remember where we left off. What in the world's going on here? Well, if you remember, the Israelites received devastating news when we looked last week, right? God said, you're going to get the promised land. I'm going to send you. You're going to get all the blessings. I'm even going to send my angel. He's going to give it for you on a silver platter. You got everything you want in this world, but I'm not going with you. You must go alone. Well, the Israelites reacted rightly. They repented. They mourned, and they took off the ornaments which God called them to do, but that's all they could do, and then they had to wait. What will God do? Perhaps He will relent. Perhaps He will forgive us, and He will go with us. What will He do? Well, all of that rode on Moses himself, didn't it? They knew that. That's why they looked with such great anticipation as he would go to the tent of meeting. There goes Moses. There comes God. There's still hope. Why? Because they knew that Moses was pleading on their behalf before the Lord their God. Moses was their intercessor. And we get to listen in as we look on these verses on that conversation. We actually get to overhear Moses and God speaking and communing with one another as Moses pleads and God responds. What do we see? Well, we see, we could break this part of the prayer down into two sections. The first section in verses 12 and 13, we see Moses asked for something for himself, really. Moses asked for something for himself. He says, you see, you say to me, bring up these people. In other words, you have given me a great task, O Lord. You have called me to bring up these people, but You haven't even told me who's going to go with me. I can't do this by myself. I need help, much help. You haven't told me who. You said some angel's going, right? That's implied here, but I don't know who this angel is. Moreover, I don't want an angel. I don't want distant instructions, Lord. I want you. If I'm going to be able to take these people with me and lead them, I need your presence. Therefore, what? Teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me. Let me know you. I must have you, Lord, if I'm going to do this thing which you have called me to do. Now, as I said in the beginning, the main thing I want you to see that highlight the emphasis is great is to see Christ in this. But let us also learn from Moses and his example as we go through this. What did Moses know and understand here? He could not do what God had called him to do unless God was with him. His very presence was with him. That's why he calls out for God. Let me know your ways. Let me know your character. Let me know your mind. Let me know you, Lord. You must show me. You must take me to do this thing. Moses knew that, so he cried out to God for him to go with him in presence. Don't send me alone, God. I can't do this. Let us understand the same thing. That there is nothing in this world, and God calls us to many things. No matter who you are, God calls us to many things, and there is not one of them that you can accomplish unless the Lord your God goes with you. Therefore, let us be resolved to not dare try to accomplish these things without His presence, and therefore pleading before Him to go with us. Let us also pray, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me. Come all the way into this thing. Lord, I can't do this without you. You, children, cannot obey your parents unless the Lord comes into this thing. Did you know that? And did you know that's a calling on your life, O children? Right? Honor your father and mother, for this is right. God calls you away from yourself and your sin. That's your first calling in life. God's always calling you away from your sinful self, and He's calling you to obey your parents. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if God comes all the way into that. He's got to go with you. You've got to show me your ways, Lord. Show me your submission. I can't do this. I don't want to submit. You've got to ask the Lord to come in. God's called you, husbands, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. How in the world are you going to do that without God going with you? It's not in you. It's not in me. I'm a selfish man. I use my wife in a worldly love. It's me, if it's me. But if you're going to fulfill the calling by which God's called you to love your wife, you've got to ask the Lord to come with you. Lord, do not let me go alone. Don't you send me alone. Let me know your ways. Let me know your sacrificial love. Wives, how in the world are you going to submit to your husbands without the Lord? God calls you to submit to your husband in the fear of Christ. That's to the Lord. That's not in you. It's not in anybody to submit. Only rebellion of heart. You got to ask the Lord. Come all the way into this. Show me how to do this. Just as your son, as Jesus, as you submit to the Father, help me to submit. Whatever the calling. You know you have a calling to work. God made you to work. How are you going to work as the Lord wants you to work unless He comes with you? You can go in your own way, in your own flesh, but it accomplishes nothing. Whatever the call, brothers and sisters, the call to love, the call to serve, the call to teach your children, the call to make disciples, the call to preach and teach perhaps, whatever the call, you have many calls in your life. You cannot do it unless the Lord goes with you. So let us be resolved not to go anywhere without Him. Let's pray like Moses prayed. Lord, you got to show me your ways. I don't want distant instructions. I want you. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes all the way into that thing. Right? What Jesus told his disciples. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Right? Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. For apart, and you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, what are you going to do? Zip, zero, nothing. That's what Jesus said. apart from me, you can do nothing. We need the Lord if we're going to be able to do anything He has called us to do. Now, as we continue going, you know, that's Moses. That's what he asked for himself. He asked for the Lord's presence to just do this thing the Lord called him to do. It seems selfish at first, but not at all. It's impossible without the Lord. But now at the end of 13, he kind of switches his gears and see, now he starts to focus on the nation. He's there interceding for Israel, right? And he says, Lord, consider too that this nation is your people. They're not just mine. You've given me this call, but they're yours. Now, before Moses can get anything else out of his mouth, before he asks for what he's going to ask for, God speaks, doesn't he? In verse 14, he says, my presence shall go with you. I will give you rest. Now, at first glance, it looks like Moses isn't paying attention. God says, I will go with you. I will give you rest. And Moses jumps right back in and says, oh, Lord, if you don't go with us, it's pointless, right? Lord, if you don't go with us, don't send us at all. So what's happened with Moses? Was he not paying attention? Was he just caught? No, if we examine just a little bit further, we'll see Moses heard perfectly. See, because in verse 14, what did God say? God spoke in the singular you. When he told Moses, I will go with you, I will give you rest, he was speaking to Moses and Moses alone, because that's what he'd asked for. Lord, go with me. God said, I'll go with you. I'll give you rest. I will do that. But it's the singular. If you have the King James Version, you'll see it. All right? The instead of you. But he hadn't agreed to go with the Israelites. So Moses then now as the intercessor says, Lord, you got to go with all of us. If you don't go with all of us, it is pointless. Don't even send us at all. Again, let's learn from Moses. Again, it's pointless to go without the Lord. Let us be resolved, right, as an individual, as a families, as people of God, that we don't set one foot in a new direction unless we know the Lord's going with us. How foolish. Let us be like Moses and say, Lord, don't send us. If you're not going, you've got to go. Again, God's presence has to be with us, or it accomplishes nothing. Oh, how foolishly we run off in directions sometimes, don't we? Oh, yeah, this is of the Lord. God must be with us. So let us be resolved to go only with Him. And then notice the very last thing that Moses says to God, his last plea as to why he should go. He says, Lord, this is something else. He says, how can it be known that I found favor? See, somewhere in the Scriptures, we don't see it, but somewhere in the Scriptures, God's told Moses, you found favor in my sight. He's told Moses that. We see it. And he says, and he's told the Israelites, right? You found favor in my sight. And he says, how is it going to be known that I have favor? How am I going to know this? You've told me this, but how am I going to know if you don't go with us? Because if you don't go with us, right, we won't be distinguished and set apart. Do you see his logic? See, God says, I found favor on you. And he told the Israelites that he saved them for a purpose. You remember what it was? They would be his people. He would be their God. He'd make them a holy nation, and they'd be different than all the nations of the earth. But he says, God, if you don't go with us, then this isn't going to happen. Because the only way a people or a person can be distinguished and set apart is that your presence is with you. You're what makes us different, Lord, your presence with us. If you're not with us, guess what? We're like everybody else. So how will we know we have favor in your sight unless you go with us and make us different? Hear this. Hear this from the Word of God. One of the greatest evidences that grace has come to you is that you're different. That you're sanctified and you're set apart. Why? Because if God's presence is with you by grace, this is what He does in your life. He sets you apart and He makes you different from the rest of the world. He makes you like Christ. He sanctifies you. If you're not different, God's not with you. Just let me tell you that. Martin Lloyd-Jones, you heard me quote him in Sunday school a few weeks ago. He said, if you're not an extraordinary man, you're not a Christian. That's the same point. If God's with you, He sets you apart as His, as holy. My brother said, are we all in the same place? No. But we are being set apart if His grace is with us, because this is what He does. This is how we know we found favor in His sight. It's that He sets us apart. So you have to ask the question, I think. At least this is what I do. Am I different? Do people know that I'm a Christian without me trying to argue with them that I'm a Christian? Do they see that in my life? Is Jesus and His presence with you? Listen, if Jesus is with you, He does not allow you to be like the rest of the world. You're His. And He sets you apart and He calls you out, right? If you've been reading in Revelation with us, what does God call? Come out of her. Come out of her, my children. You get out of Babylon and you come to me. That's what it means when He sanctifies you. He calls the world out of you and puts more of Himself in you. And you are holy as He is holy. So you see Moses make this argument. Lord, if you don't go with us, we're not going to be different. Like you said, we're going to be like everybody else. And then how are we even going to know if we found favor? Can't. And then finally you see verse 17. God says to Moses, this thing also that you ask I will do. Wow, Moses is proven to be quite the intercessor. Two requests, two answers in the affirmative. I will do what you ask. How? Why? Why does God answer Moses' prayers so quickly? It's not quick. He labored 40 days and 40 nights, but He gives him what he asked. Well, some would argue, well, you know, this was God's plan from the beginning. Of course He's going to answer this, and that's true. And somebody say, well, this is according to His covenant promises. You know, yeah, that's true. But I want you to see He actually tells us in verse 17 very specifically why He answers Moses' prayer. Do you see it? He says, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. Why? For, because you have found favor in my sight. I have known you by name. In other words, I know you very intimately. Those who have God's favor, God knows very intimately. See that link. But why did God answer Moses' prayers and forgive Israel and go with Israel? It's because of the great favor the intercessor had with the Father. Do you see Jesus yet? God's favor and grace went to the Israelites because of His great favor that was on Moses. It wasn't because of the Israelites. It was because of Moses. And His favor. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to see is this is who Jesus is to us. You understand that? God's favor and grace and forgiveness only comes to us because of Jesus and the great favor Jesus has with the Father, like we sang about. How much does God delight in Jesus? This also calls your heart to sing. Because it's only because of the great favor that Jesus has with the Father that His favor and grace comes to us. That's the only reason. It's all because of Jesus. He's our intercessor. And it's only because of Jesus and the favor He has with the Father that He would ever extend that grace to us. This is what makes the statement at Jesus' baptism so beautiful when He comes up out of the water. What did He say? Right? This is my beloved Son in whom what? I am well pleased. Praise the Lord, He's well pleased with Jesus, because if He's not, there is no hope for us. But because He's well pleased with Jesus, grace can come if you're in Christ. And we know it wasn't just in word, it was in deed. What did He do when Jesus died on the cross? 3 days later, He rose from the grave with power. Why? God said, this is whom I have great favor on. I'm pleased with the sacrifice for sin. It is sufficient to take away your sin. I have favor on my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only because of that favor that you could ever have favor before the Lord your God. His grace will come to you if you're in Jesus. Are you in Jesus? Have you cast yourself on Him and the high priest, the only one who stands before the Father, intercedes on your behalf? He says, oh Father, if I have found favor in your sight, will you save my people? Oh, this is a prayer we know God will answer, right? Because why? We know He has found favor in the sight of the Father. This is what we trust in. We don't trust in our favor. We have none outside of Jesus. I ask people all the time, what's your hope to get into heaven? Well, God will see my good heart. He see I'm sincere. He'll see all the X, Y, Z about me. Oh, there's no hope in that. Unless your hope is in Jesus and what He's done and His favor before the Father, you have no hope before God. See your intercessor, your mediator, the only one who can make you stand before God. Jesus is the only one who has favor. You have none outside of Him. In Him you have great favor. He will take delight in you as sons and daughters. Trust in Jesus. That's the picture you see. I'll answer your prayers. Why? You found favor in my sight. What's the second picture? Second picture is we see Christ as our protector. Protector from what? Well, let's take a look. You'd think by this time Moses would be satisfied. Man, he's asked much of God and God has answered, right? Most people would walk away. Thank you, Lord. Not Moses. Moses, emboldened by answered prayers, pushes on. Okay, Lord, let me see your glory. Wow. He's asking to see the full revelation of God. He wants to see the splendor of His majesty and the fullness of His glory spread out before him. Now, has not Moses seen God's glory? If anybody has seen glory of the glory of God, it's Moses. He saw it at the burning bush. Wow. You're on holy ground. Take off those shoes. And then he went with the 70 elders up the mountain and had shared a meal with God, and he saw the feet of God, or at least the pavement under the feet of God. Wow. And then he went to the mountaintop, and where did he dwell for 40 days and 40 nights? The cloud of glory. Not to mention he's been another 40 days and nights here in this tent of meeting, faced almost like a man face to face with God, talking with him. If anybody's seen the glory of God, it's Moses, and yet he's the one that says, God, show me more. I got to have more, right? What do we learn from this? Well, first, you'll never get to the end of God. I don't care how deeply you dive into Him. There are depths of Him that will be unplumbed forever in all infinity. You'll never come to the end of God. And two, those who know and experience God most will want Him more than anyone else. The more you know of God, the more you'll want to know of God, and that's what you see Moses. He desires more of God because he knows Him better than anybody else. The further in you go, the more joy there is. The more joy there is, the more joy you want. You want to delight in the Lord. Let it be a warning to us. You have enough of God? You satisfied? Sorry, God, I got enough of you. I'm going to go and live my life and be satisfied with what I got. When this happens, let it be a warning flag. Something's wrong. Something's wrong in your relationship with the Lord. If this is always the case, I'm not your judge, but I would say you may not know the Lord at all. But if it's just up here and there, then it's likely that the idol swap has happened in your heart. Because listen, God's given us a heart to want and desire and to pursue that which we love. And we will. Period. And when God is the one which we truly love, we will pursue Him. And so when we're not pursuing Him, guess what? Something switched and we don't even know it half the time. But you let God show you, He'll show you where you're going, what you're going after. So that's why I ask, you got enough of God? Oh, I hope not. Let's learn from Moses. The more you know of God, the more you want to know of Him. Oh, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. So, what does God say to that? Yes and no. Yes and no. He says, I'll pass by you. I'm going to show you my goodness. Wow, what a gracious offer. I'll declare to you my covenant name, the Lord Yahweh. I'll declare that before you. I'll even reveal my sovereign grace to you. I'll have mercy on who I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on who I'll have compassion. Matter of fact, it's only by his sovereign grace that Moses would be allowed to see God like this. He's saying, so I'll choose who I'll do this to and who I won't, but understand this, Moses. There's limits to what you ask. I cannot expose my full glory to you. You cannot see my face. Why? Well, there's no man that can live and see my face, right? As Augustine said, no one living in this life can see him fully as he is. Why? He'd be destroyed. God's holy and perfect and his glory is radiant beyond our comprehension. Moses, as godly of a man he is sinful and finite. Exposed to the full glory of God, even Moses would be destroyed. And so God says, you can only see so much. So he makes special arrangements, doesn't he? He said, there's a rock here by me. He said, you'll come in on this rock and I'm going to pass by you. But when I do, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover you up with my hand. I'm going to take my hand. I'm actually going to take my hand and put you in the cleft of the rock. Right? And then I'm going to cover you up and I'm going to pass by you. And after I pass by, I'm going to take my hand off and you're going to see my backside. This is just human terms to help us understand a little bit what God's doing. Moses is going to be allowed to see a lesser degree of his glory. He's not going to be able to see the full shining glory of God face to face, because if he did, he would be destroyed. But notice, even though it's a lesser glory, what did Moses have to do? He had to be protected. Matthew Henry said he needed to be sheltered from the dazzling light and devouring fire of God's glory as it came so near. Even this he must be protected from, because he would be consumed. What was his protection? It was God's own hand putting him in the rock. Do you see Jesus? Brothers and sisters, I want you to see that Jesus is that rock. My goodness, if Moses cannot stand in the presence of God's full glory, how can you? And do you understand that one day that you will stand before the full presence of God's glory? Everybody will. Nobody will escape this. All will stand and see God as he is, unveiled. You will not see his back parts. You will see the full radiance of his majesty and his glory and his holiness. And if you stand there as you are in your sins, you will be consumed and destroyed before this holy God, for his wrath will consume you. God is a consuming fire. So what is your hope? Brothers and sisters, your only hope is that you have a rock like Moses had, that God can take you and put you in by his own hand. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? Jesus Christ, because he's taken on the full wrath of God for you and cried, it is finished. Because he gave you his righteousness and gives you the beautiful, white, perfect garments to wear in the presence of God. Because of all that Jesus has done, you, if you're in Christ, will be made ready to stand before the holiness of this holy, righteous, perfect God in all his glory. And you will see his face. And you will live. But it's only because of Jesus. And it's only if you're in Jesus. So I have to ask, are you in Jesus? Are you in Christ? Are you sheltered by the only rock that can protect you from this holy God? And I mean, are you in him? Are you all the way in him? I don't mean, do you know about him? I don't mean, do you take classes that you study the rock? I don't mean you can quote memory verses about the rock. I'm saying, are you in Jesus? Have you cast yourself upon the only one who can save you? Have you surrendered your life to Him? I'm telling you what, if the cross doesn't come in and disrupt every part of your life, I don't know that you know Him. When you're in Jesus, He comes in and He takes over. He says, you follow me, and you lay it all down and you go after this Jesus. That's when you know you're in Him, because then He makes you different, just like we talked about. Are you in Jesus? Or are you just kind of swirling around the periphery of this thing, Jesus, right? Doing what you think might make you fit for heaven. You'll never do anything to make you fit for heaven. Jesus is the only one. And He calls for you to surrender. Bow the knee to Him. Are you in Jesus? I pray that you, if you're not, you hear the call of the Savior. This is the call you want to hear, brothers and sisters. Come to me. He says, if you'll come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. He'll take us in. He'll put you in that rock that is Him. And He'll shield you from the holiness of God. And you'll be able to stand with Him and dwell within His presence forever. Oh, what a beautiful day that will be. Are you in Jesus? I pray you hear the call. Go to Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, may Your Spirit come. May it give faith as only You can. Lord, let us put down this foolish notion that we can create and make things happen in Your kingdom. The only thing that happens is what You do when You're with us. So, Father, we lay ourselves down before You and ask You to come. Lord, I pray that Your gospel's been preached. I pray the call's gone out. And I pray that all You do what only You can do. That You give grace. That You save sinners. Call them into the rock that is Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.